Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of your midlife. We've come up with a, I think, very interesting topic for today, and it's how to curate your midlife. Marianne, it was your idea to do this topic. So what were you thinking?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think you as well, a lot of us do have curated lives. I think that during this time in my life, I have the wisdom to know what I want to keep in my life and what I'm ready to let go of. And we have more time. Like when you're raising your children, it's just so time consuming and they're kind of like your life, right? It's everything that you're doing and you curate around it for yourself. And they are top shelf, your most important, you know, obligation and so forth. But now without that, we're able to look at a larger landscape in some ways and decide what we want to keep and what we don't. I look at a curated life or try to live my life this way. I haven't always, but I do now. Almost like I wake up in the morning and I'm walking into my life like it's an art gallery. Mm-hmm. What pictures, what art am I going to keep? What am I going to hang? What am I going to frame and what I'm going to spotlight? And I kind of just innately think of it like that.
I like that analogy. And what I think of when I think of an art gallery, which is similar to life, is a good curator pulls together works of art that tell a story about either the artist or the subject that of the exhibition, so that you get a sort of a full look at something and an understanding of it. And I think of life that way too. Like each life is a story.
Yes.
And so what is it about your life that you can bring into it that is consistent with the story of who you are?
Right.
And conversely, there's lots of other people's stories out there that we come in contact with that give us ideas for things. Oh, maybe I want to try that, but maybe they're not really consistent with your story and need to be sort of weeded out so that you can keep the focus on the things that are of value to you.
It's true. And like art, certain things you find passions in and you want to keep that. There's other things that might seem like chaos or noise.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are some things that I've taken out of my life as I've gotten older. Just being choosy and picky. The other thing is I'm in my 50s. I'm in my late 50s. And time. I mean, there's only so much time. And how do you want to spend that time? You know, when we're young, we think that we have so much time. We're very reactive and we want to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself not wanting to do everything anymore. I don't want to waste my time on things I know that I don't enjoy. So we have obligations, so there's some things that we need to do, but I get to pick, and I like that.
And it's okay to pick things and then think you're going to enjoy them, find you don't.
Right.
And then let them go by the wayside.
It goes to that word that we talk about so much is mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes back to mindset. And I think once you learn to quiet yourself and your mind, I think wisdom helps mm-hmm. with that. So we don't get so stressed and reactive to things. We're able, it comes to us the way we want to live and what we want to do. And it's easier. Like setting boundaries and just saying no to something you don't want to do with somebody, it's so much easier now than it used to be.
Right.
I was more worried about other people's feelings than my own. And I don't feel that way anymore. It's still important to me. But I know I just have so much time and I want to spend it a certain way and I'm just not going to waste it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Going back to your art gallery analogy, it's sort of like if I'm walking through the gallery of my life, there's only so much space and so much time that I can devote to spending in the gallery. And I want to see things there that fit my soul.
Right.
Right. And that represent and reflect who I think I am. I think it's actually really important because at this point in life, being uncertain about who you are, you really are running up against the clock. Yep. There is a feeling of great comfort and certainty and feeling settled in yourself.
Yeah.
And in taking the time and expending the energy to make sure the things that you surround yourself with fit you.
Right. And I don't think like life's going to end tomorrow for me.
No.
I do know that life is precious. Things happen. And I just want to make sure that I'm enjoying and getting as much out of it. I think also it takes courage. Like there are things and people that you just have to say no. So there's a courage piece to that as well. It almost feels selfish, but it's I don't think I'm being selfish. I think I'm being smart about it. I think I'm taking care of myself by doing that. But I think a lot of people would probably say, well, I can't do that. I mean, that's kind of selfish.
I think selfish is a word that gets a really bad rap. There is something good about being a little selfish.
Self-care.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, what's the story? The giving tree keeps lopping off limbs in behalf of other people and other things. And then there's nothing left, right?
Right.
You can be a little selfish. And the older you get, when you've done all the work of building a family, dedicating time to building a career, you know, what's left has to be time for you. That self time.
You know, there's different ways to curate as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it, but I think curating an environment is important. You just went through that. You got rid of clutter. You curated what you wanted, what meant a lot to you, and you live in that curated environment. I'm not quite there yet, but I try. I'm decluttering now. So how's that? But I think that environment's a way to do it. I also think, it's an odd word for living a curated life, but I think it takes generosity. And when I say that, I think that living a curated life in the aspect or in the way of being generous is being generous with your love, being generous with your time to the things that matter, to the people that matter. I think of generosity when I think of curating. I just do. So I think those are two important ways, as well as, of course, passions and spending time with people that you want to spend time with. Are there any areas in your life, like I told you, I need to curate my home. Yeah. You've done that. But is there any areas that you're looking to curate more?
Well, one actually is people. And that goes a little bit to your point about generosity. To me, it's about being open and loving in continuity because too many of my relationships in my life have been situational, right? So you make friends and they're friends at work or they're friends from when your kids are in school or even further back, friends that I had in college or high school, that like when that situation ends, those friendships don't hold up the same way. They're still there. They need to be nourished. They need to be revived. That's a better way of putting it. And I've actually been actively doing that because part of curating, it can't just be for me, what's going forward, like what do I want to take forward from this point, but also what do I want to sort of scoop in that represents the best part of my past. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is people.
Yeah.
And I've been very fortunate lately that I've been able to reconnect with some very old friends that are very valuable to me. And I am now thinking about, now that I have more time, because I'm not working, how do I nourish those relationships and keep them in good stead, take care of them?
I think that when we look at living a curated life and thinking about those things in the past, I think there's a reverence to it, to honor the things in the past, but to also respect and live the way you are in the present, but also projecting and moving forward, thinking about those things that would be sustainable or would actually bring you purpose or joy later. Now's the time to even look at those things and what you can maybe unwind or let go of. But I think what we've done in the past in our past lives, we've got to honor that. There's a reverence to that in my mind.
And I think the things that you've done in your past typically represent something about your values. Mm-hmm. And it's your values that are kind of a continuing thread, a joining thread, if you will,
yeah.
from decade to decade of life. And so if you can pull that thread through
right.
and see, oh, that's a beautiful color that's woven through my fabric of my life,
yeah.
that feels good.
It does. And I think there's things in our past that brought us so much joy and purpose and life that we haven't curated or brought forward just because they fell behind for whatever reason, sometimes age. I'm gonna bring this up. You and I have talked. I want to do an adult summer camp. Yeah. So I think about things in the past. Like that was so important to me every summer. Talk about a curated summer. I was in summer camp. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to me. All the activities, the friendships, the late nights, all of that. So that's something from the past that I want to honor that I enjoyed so much. Somehow I am going to entwine that in my future. I'm definitely going to do it.
And for me, it's writing, because writing is something I've always enjoyed. And I've done it as a career in a legal sense. But to do something creative with writing pulls on something that's always been a part of me that I've always enjoyed that I want to bring with me into the next phase of life.
I think that's like a place that we should sit and talk about over the years, over the days, months. I think that is so important. You said, because that joyfulness and that childlike spirit is so important. Mm-hmm. We get worn down with life, mm-hmm. and we forget about those joys. But I remember I was interviewing you, or it was a podcast, interviewing for a podcast or a podcast. But you spoke about setting up plays, like
when
playtime with friends. Yes, like theater almost. I know that that brought you so much joy. So if we do a summer camp, a talent show or a play, well, it has so to be fun. Something that you do. But I don't think a lot of us, I don't do that enough. I don't think back about the things that I enjoyed. I loved water skiing, and I do a little bit, but not much. I want to water ski. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that I will put, you know, either as the present or moving forward. And it's an odd thing to think of a curated life and having those type things in it, but it brings me pleasure. It brings me happiness, which in turn brings me purpose.
Exactly.
You know?
And, you know, it's funny because like one of the things that I always wanted to do in my life that I have now curated out of my life, but I think is going to morph into something else, right? And you know this, I always wanted to play the piano.
Oh, yeah.
And when my husband and I got married, we bought a piano and I never took lessons. The kids took lessons.
Right.
But there was never time for me to do that. And when we sold the house, to my great regret, we sold the piano. And it was the right thing. But I recently thought, and I sort of thought when I sold the piano, that's a piece that I need to kind of just sort of take out of my life. I just don't have room for it. It's not part of the gallery I'm building, right? But then recently I thought, well, now wait a minute. Maybe there's not room in my life for a piano. That doesn't mean there isn't another instrument that I can take up. And so I'm beginning to sort of toy with that a little bit.
What do you think you would
choose? You're going to laugh. You are absolutely going to howl.
Really?
At this. Yeah.
It's not the accordion, is
yes.
it? Okay. Do you know I played the accordion when I was young?
Did I ever?
Oh, I'm horrible at it. But my best friend's mother had an accordion. Yes. Have I not told you the story?
Oh, my gosh.
You think you're in the gym getting some guns now. You just wait. I can't wait to see that one.
I think it would be fun.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. I mean, it's the music to it too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's the beat. It's the fun. I think that's great.
And it kind of, I don't know, accordion music sort of makes me think of Italy, which... It, you know, I'm like on my Italian thing, I'm learning Italian.
Yeah.
So it's sort of part of that.
And you get to do the keyboard.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a fun, it's huge. You know, it's a lot. It's awkward.
But it doesn't need a whole room.
No, it doesn't need a whole room. And you can travel with it.
Yeah.
You can do that as well. I played the guitar for years and I haven't done it in 30 years.
So is that something you might?
So I've been talking about doing that. I haven't. I actually pulled it out of my attic and it's been sitting there. I'm sure Robert's like, okay, you can pick that thing up. And then when I was Harry, I took some voice lessons.
You did take voice lessons, right?
With Harry and talked about a ukulele. So I have a ukulele. That might be an easier way, though I remember my chords and stuff from the guitar. But it's fun because when we think about curating, I think we think about how we're going to live so deliberately mm-hmm. and intentionally. And we think about the good works or the good things that we're going to do for ourselves and for others. And I don't know. I think it's something about being a human, we don't always think about that joy, that magic that throws the glitter on your life. These things that make your eyes sparkle, that give you excitement. Because I can see it in you now. You're going to have to get an accordion.
Okay, I'm going to have to.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
So I think we need to fit more of that in our curated piece. I don't know. How would you tell somebody to start like curating their life if they feel like there's too much and life's dragging and where would they start?
I think you start with spending some time thinking about, well, I think it's really two things. I would say spending some time thinking about, are there recurring themes in your life, things that you've really liked that have resonated with you, that you've enjoyed? And they're going to be different person to person. Some people it's physical activity, right? And we've talked about, for me, totally not. For some people it's music. For some people it's drawing, or for some people it's writing. Whatever it is that you find joy in, mm-hmm. think about how you incorporate that. But the other and broader is what do you value? What are your values? Where does your soul sit? Mm-hmm. And what's important, mm-hmm. right? Because whatever activities or things you take on should be reflective of something that's important to you. Like one thing we do, both of us, is we do some charity work, right?
Right.
And I think that that's something that I believe in a well-curated life has a place. It's part of being well-rounded and complete to do something for the community.
Purpose,
right. And just that giving back, which if you're in a position where you're talking about curating your life, you're pretty privileged. Giving some of that privilege back is important. But then that requires, like, if I'm going to do some sort of charitable work, what do I value? Where do I want to put my time? Who do I want to help? How do I want to help? So spending some time thinking about those things.
For listeners, I mean, where would you recommend somebody start with curating their life?
I think it really requires looking sort of holistically, like at the different elements of your life and figuring out how to make them work for you, which is a little bit about what you keep, what you add, what you detract, right? What you subtract. So for me, sort of the areas of life that I've kind of looked at are my charitable work, because I think it's important to do that. Mm-hmm. Spirituality, because that's important too, whatever that means to you. Having some sort of creative outlet, because I think that's part of spirituality, getting the inside of you out into the world. I like that idea too. Like art is inside, it wants to come out.
It's true.
Relationships, which ones to keep, which ones to nurture. I said a minute ago, I've gone back to some old friendships that I'm trying to revive, but I have also sort of closed down some newer relationships and friendships that I just can't nourish in the way that I would need to and don't really have time for.
If they don't fill your soul, right?
Yeah.
I think with the friendships, I prefer to have fewer people in my life and have a much richer, deeper bond with those people.
What else do you think about curating?
I think you hit most of them. Like spirituality is important. I had mentioned before curating an environment that works for you and keeps you in a healthy mindset, that gives you peace. That's not cluttered. I think for me, if I had to pick one, and I think you know this about me, relationships at the end of the day on our deathbeds, all that's going to matter is the time that we spent and the time that we didn't mm-hmm. with those that we care and love for the most. Relationships would be number one for me.
I think another piece too, which I don't want to forget to talk about, is care of self, right?
Right.
We just talked about selfishness being a good thing. I have found as I've gotten older, because when I was younger, I was worried about feeding my kids and making sure that I got exercise and fresh air every day. I worry about that to some extent with the dog now and my husband. But now I'm actually worrying about that for me. Right. Like I need to make sure that I get adequate sleep, which is not always easy, that I eat well, that I get exercise, taking care of my physical body, which is going to have to carry me forward, is an important piece of it. But like with any good curating practice, there are some things that I can't do anymore,
right,
for myself, just because I'm not going to take on some new thing that's going to be a huge challenge and be a burden for me. So it's just thinking about how do I weave this into my life so that it fits.
Or a waste of time.
Or a waste of time.
The other thing I look at is, what am I going to wish that I did more of? What am I going to wish that I did more of in 10 years from now? Sometimes I tell myself, I'm too old for that. Well, I'm definitely going to be too old for that in 10 years. So it's like, at least try, at least do it. So when I think about living the life I want to lead or live, and a curated life, I think of those things that I wished I had done or am doing and try to do more. We only have so much time. So I think it's important to do that in general. Mm-hmm. But things that fill your soul, that make you happy, you know?
Being happy is actually really important. You only get one ride on this merry-go-round. Why be miserable? Mm-hmm. So if you can do things that will help you be happy, and I realize that not everyone's in that position,
right,
but you can definitely make even small changes to help increase your happiness quotient,
right,
in your life.
I was reading an interesting article. I didn't finish it. I will finish it. I ended up saving it, about happiness. And we all try to focus on happiness. And happiness is important, things that make you happy. But living a life that's meaningful and purposeful to try and get to a point of true joy. They're talking about the difference between happiness
and
joy. Innate joy, like waking up in the morning, you got a huge smile on your face. You're not waiting for something to make you happy. Nothing has to happen for that. But you live this life of joy. And I want to read more about that. I think I live a joyful life for the most part. We all have life that takes us down. And happiness is a way to get to a joyful life, of course. You're filling it up with that. But I think that's important. I think we have the privilege. We're very fortunate. Not everybody is, to be able to choose how we want to live our life. You know, talking about taking care of yourself, there are people in life that have a horrible chronic illness. Mm-hmm. They can't curate their life and take out the dialysis or take out certain things. And that may be us at some point in life. So the sooner somebody can get themselves into a position to start kind of teasing that apart, even if they're just going to start with the environment, curating their environment or curating their relationships, I think that's where to start. I don't think it's all in one and done. I think it's something that we do over time. And I think it's just very, you know, just doing it in a very purposeful way.
And even for people who face unusual challenges, there's still room to do some curating around the edges. I mean, you mentioned dialysis. My mom was on dialysis for the last 8 years of her life. Mm-hmm. But she was kind of inspirational in a lot of ways. She still had the things around her that made her happy, that gave her some joy.
That's what she got to do.
Yeah. One was her dog.
Aw. I'm sure for kids and grandkids.
I mention dogs all the time. Any curated life of mine will include a dog.
I love my dog.
But yeah, I mean, you can still, even when you face unusual challenges, you can still control the things that you can.
Right.
Let go of the things that you can't. Mm-hmm. And that would be another, you know, another piece of advice is focus on what you actually have control over in your life, that you, where you have the choice, and make good choices that suit you.
Yeah. It's interesting with the age piece of it too, because when I was young, I wanted to try everything. I wanted to know everybody. I wanted to, you know, just enjoy life to the fullest in every single way. I don't anymore. It's much smaller, you know. And like I said, I use that word generosity. It is being generous to myself too, as well as to others, and in giving that generosity, whether it's love or time. I don't need a lot of anything anymore. I just don't. I don't know that I ever needed it. But we want to, when you're youthful, you want to experience a little bit of everything.
And you see so many things that seem intriguing. And there's so many people doing things that you feel, I could do that too.
Right.
It's when, I think for me, a big milestone was when I reached the point where I could look at other people and respect and admire that they were doing something and not feel like I needed to do it too. I could leave that where it lied.
Right.
And just focus on my life, on the things that I was going to do.
Well, at this age or stage or mindset, I don't know how you want, maybe it's not even an age thing. We don't have that competitive edge either anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to live my life the way I want. I don't care what people think.
Yeah. Caring what people think is a big piece of curating your life.
It really is. Yeah. It's wonderful. It is so freeing. It's so freeing. my kids, I listen to our conversations, and there's always that piece of what somebody might think of them, you know, and the decisions they're making based on that. And I'm like, I was in your shoes. I get it. It's stressful. It's frustrating. I can tell you not to do it. It's not worth it. All that matters is you and what you think and those that love you, that you're not hurting anyone by making your decisions. And I can tell you this, and people told me this. Hopefully you'll be wiser at a younger age than I was, but do it, because that will bring you so much peace and so much joy. Just letting, and that's curating, right? But at that age, it's hard. You don't see it the same way as we see it now. Like, you know, my parents would say they just don't give a, you know, F anymore about certain things.
Yeah.
I don't tend to use that word, so I won't. But that came with age.
Well, you know.
Older age, not younger age.
Going back to the gallery. If you just hire somebody that doesn't really know anything about the art or the history or the subject to hang some things on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
You get kind of a mishmash of things that don't have any meaning. It takes experience to know what goes up and what comes down.
It's so true. I mean, walking through life as an art gallery, I mean, it's true. What you're going to keep, what you're going to hang, what you're going to spotlight.
Mm-hmm. So that I think is our advice for our listeners. Think of your life as a gallery, as an exhibition
of art.
What in that exhibition represents you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to keep in it? What do you keep out of it? Yeah. What do you showcase? What do you not?
What matters?
What matters?
What have you stopped saying yes to? What has that opened up for you? Because we're always talking about, you know, saying yes in your midlife. But what have you actually stopped saying yes to?
I think for me, I've stopped saying yes to the things that don't matter. So people will ask me to do things. I would normally always say yes. I would go out of my way to help somebody or not help. Maybe they're asking me to do something to help themselves. And I've gotten much better at being able to say no to those things that I used to say yes to. And it's allowed me to actually curate the things and that I want to say yes to. Like, I just took a big position as a board member at Doorways, our domestic shelter in Arlington. And it is a big job. If I continued to say yes for a lot of the other community things, the smaller things, or not just that, other things, I would not be able to do that. So I'm going to be generous with my time and my love and give it to something that is, gives me a lot of purpose. But it does take saying no to things I used to always say yes to.
I mean, I just recently said, cut something out of my life, said no to, which was a big part of my life, which was work. I mean, I'm only 62. Lots of people work beyond this age. I was ready to let that go. I had accomplished what I felt I needed to accomplish in my work life. I wasn't looking at, there was nothing looking ahead that was a new challenge that I felt I wanted to take on. And I wanted the time back for myself to do the things that I really always wanted to do. And don't get me wrong, I loved working. I loved being a professional woman. I raised my kids while working. All of that was great. And I would not change that doing it if I had to do it over. But there was it was the end of its shelf life and it was time to let it go and move on to other things. So retirement at 62, you know, a few years earlier than I otherwise would have, but it opens up a few more years to travel and have adventures, do summer camp.
I'm doing it.
What is something that you recently started saying yes to that your younger self might have not necessarily understood?
When I was a kid, all the kids in my neighborhood signed up for tennis camp in the summer. That was a big thing. That's what kids did in the summer. They played tennis. They went to tennis camp. I did it like one session and hated it. I did not think I was cut out for tennis. I didn't like the whole idea of it. And I just, that was not for me. And you know how I feel generally about it. I'm not somebody that's done sports. I'm not somebody that's really done a lot of physical activity. It's just not my thing. However, I have a couple of really good friends who have taken up pickleball. And all they talk about is pickleball, 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 pickleball. And so my one friend has been on me to go play pickleball with her. And through our mutual friend, Daisy, who has a pickleball court at home, she invited me over and said, let me just give you a lesson and teach you. And I was like, this is actually fun. And then I spoke to my friend Karen, who is really into pickleball. And she said, you know, the thing about pickleball is the community. It's a whole community that you drop in on and you play on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it's fun. And it's sort of, it's just a good thing to do with a new community of people. And I thought, oh, that was the whole point when I was a kid, right? It was the summer activity to keep a community of kids together. And I was too focused on, I am terrible at tennis. I don't like sports, and missing the community aspect of it. So now I've gone 2 Tuesdays in a row to a drop-in pickleball activity. And it's awesome. These people are great. And, you know, and I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it at a level sufficient to be a credible pickleball player in this community. So I was challenging my assumptions about what I can and cannot do and looking at the activity a different way.
When I was younger, I wanted to always have friends around me. I wanted friends to inspire me. I wanted, I wouldn't say popularity because that was not me anyway, but it was having that gang of individuals that I felt held me up. So I think in my, as an older adult now and where I am in life, those things don't matter to me. So it doesn't matter how many friends I have. I don't need people to hold me up anymore. I feel like I have self-confidence without others having to give it to me. So I think that my younger self would be very surprised that I don't need a whole group of friends. I just need those few that I care for, that have purpose in my life. The joy of the few people that mean something to me is more important than having my big tribe or a big gang of friends or girlfriends. It doesn't matter, you know, but when we're younger, it does.
Which is ironic because you do have a large group of friends.
I don't feel like there's a lot more I could have that I don't, you know. I think the other thing, when I was young, I would say yes to so much that just to experience something and without thinking it through. Now I say yes to things, but I also say no with a lot more thought. Like I would have just done a lot of things just to experience them. Even if maybe I didn't like it, I'd want the experience. But now I'm not like that. It's those curated things that I want to do that I'm going to say yes to. Just doing a bunch of things for the heck of doing it and checking things off the box, that just doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't need to collect those kind of experiences or do those kind of things.
Really, we all are always curating our lives. We just maybe aren't as aware of it when we're younger.
Right.
Because we're responding to so many things and our life is in a much more reactive mode than proactive mode. When you get a little bit older and you have the experience and you're done with all of the obligations of others have lessened, raising children, taking care of family, then you can really begin to proactively think about, where is all this going? What is my life in all of this? Who am I?
Yeah.
And defining ourselves, right?
Right.
That's just a really beautiful, meaningful thing. I mean, defining yourself before you die.
I think it's so important. I think we help our children get there, as my parents helped me get there. It sounds odd, but with sports, because they're not good at everything. Sometimes mine played, you know, everything. I mean, baseball, soccer, basketball, you name it. They figured out what they liked or what they were good at. And you give them permission to, like, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not for you. And so I think we do start at a younger age and we teach our kids at a younger age without even really knowing it. But it's even like in their academics. I knew what my kids' strengths and weaknesses were. And of course, you want them to work on their weaknesses to get stronger. But at some point, if that weakness is going to remain, it's just not their thing. They're not going to be a mathematician. Then, okay, maybe you don't need to take all that math. Take all your basic math, go to college, you know, all of those things. But that doesn't need to be where you spend all your time. You love creative writing. That's where you should spend your time.
Play to your strengths.
Yeah. So we do curate throughout our lives and hopefully teach our kids to do the same thing. We're just in a spot where we get to curate it in a much bigger way, I think.
In a more deliberate and conscious way.
Yeah.
With a lot more awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things serve a purpose for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an okay way to live.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.